You know, I'm always amazed by the insight of those who wrote the scripture. You know, when I was younger, I thought it was just a storybook, but I realize now that, you know, we call it the Word of God, and I realize that it had to be inspired by God for these writers to see and understand human nature so clearly. I think the old-fashioned language probably makes it difficult sometimes, but everything in the scripture is just, to me, it's so relevant. The writers knew humans, and they understood how humans would act. Just take, for example, the things it's talked about in the book of Revelation, the trials and tribulations, the fear, the uncertainty, the doubt, the hatefulness. This was talked about 2,000 years ago, and it's here now. You know, we see it in the world every day. But I want to get back to our scripture first. And I have heard it said that you shouldn't try to relate scripture to our modern world. But to me, if it's not relevant, what's the point of even studying it? When I read scripture, I see, just like I was talking about, you know, the writers were so inspired, I see them talking about us just as much as I see them talking about 2,000 and 3,000 year old things. And I've heard it said that it's being political to try to compare it to today. But I can't see that. That makes no sense to me. So I apologize for that, because the way my mind works, you know, if it's not relevant, then there's no need to bother studying it. And again, the insight of these scripture writers, it's got to be inspired by God. It can't not be. So let me get back to the scripture of today. And first I want to talk about the long passage that Gwen read so well in Exodus. Well, here is where God has led the Hebrews out of Egypt through the wilderness, and they're close to the promised land. But God wants to stop and sit down with Moses and take some time and spell out some rules that he wants them to have to live by. And so Moses goes up in the mountain. I don't remember the name of the mountain, but that's where, to them, God lived at that time. And it took him a few days, so Moses was gone up there 4 or 5 days or so, it says, I believe, with God. And the people started getting restless. And they're like, where's God? We ain't seen him for several days. And where's Moses? Moses done gone up in the mountain. He ain't never coming back. You know, we're alone again. We're defenseless. And so they said, we need to make us some gods to worship. And I'm like, you know, where have y'all been for the last month or two? You know, God sent Moses to lead you out of Egypt. He parted an ocean for you to cross. He destroyed Pharaoh's army without you having to lift a hand. He led you through the desert and the wilderness. He fed you and watered you from nothing, from thin air. And he's led you all this way. And now, a couple of days later, and you've forgotten all this, and you're scared, and you need a new God to worship. So, for some reason, nobody said a word that, like, you know, hey, y'all, wait a minute. So Aaron, who was one of Moses' brothers or cousins or something, I believe, told him, said, I tell you what, get all your gold together. We'll melt it down. We'll make us some idols. And so they did it, and they made an altar. And when I read this, I'm just amazed. Like, what are y'all thinking about? You know, how can y'all forget all the miracles that you have witnessed and all this time? And now, you know, all of a sudden, God's not here no more. We got to have another God. And I'm like, how, you know, weak and foolish can people be? And so God sees this, and God gets really mad. And God says, look at these idiots. He said, this is my chosen people. He said, and look at the way they're acting. He said, And I love this term, stiff-necked. You hear that used a lot. I like that term. You know, we say hard-headed or arrogant, but stiff-necked is a good descriptive term. Well, God says, these people are stiff-necked. They've turned away from me already. He said, this is my chosen people, but maybe I chose badly. He said, and I'm going to fix it now. So God's fixing to just waste them all. And Moses pleads with him. Moses says, no, God, please. He said, please, don't do that. He said, you know, you made a promise to Abraham and all our forefathers. He said, don't forget that now. And God, with the respect that he had for Moses, he listened. And God said, okay. He said, we'll give them another chance. He said, we'll start over. He said, I'm going to punish the ringleaders, he said, but I'm not going to destroy them all. And, you know, looking back, when you look at the history of the Hebrews throughout the rest of the Old Testament, sometimes I think it's kind of cynical, but I think maybe Moses should have just kept quiet and let him start over. But, you know, when I read this, my first thought is, how could these people be so stupid and so silly and so weak and so self-centered? And then when I think about it a little more, I think, well, wait a minute. That's going on today. You know, and I think, to be honest, in the world today, we've done the Hebrews one better. We haven't chosen to worship some made-up gods. We have said we don't need God. We think we are gods. If you look in the world today, our leaders have denied God. They have outlawed him. We can't mention him in schools. We can't have him in holidays. We can't openly worship God, but you can openly worship whatever else you want. You know, our leaders have done this, not just in this nation, but all around the world. And yet all Christians just sit silent and let it happen. Let me tell you a story. This kind of illustrates it, and this story is past being silly. Somebody showed me this on the internet the other day, and some of the rest of you that look at the internet may have seen this. There's a school principal somewhere in the Midwest. I don't remember what state, but that's not important. He decided, I think it was a middle or elementary school, but he decided that calling the students boys and girls brought up gender differences and might make people uncomfortable. So he said, from now on, we're not going to have boys and girls. We're going to call everybody purple penguins. And this principal did, this is true now. And, you know, somebody at work showed me this, and we were laughing about it, and we've been joking and carrying on. But the more I get to thinking about it, it's not quite so funny as it seems on the surface. You know, we've denied what God created. God created women and men, and not just us, but in all of life. But all of a sudden now we decided, well, you know, that's not good enough. We got to do this different. You know, and we let our leaders do this. We let our leaders outlaw God, basically, and they've banned him from our world and said, we don't need him anymore. We're good enough. We can decide ourselves, and we stay silent. Well, we let our leaders have corrupted our financial systems throughout the world and created more poverty than we had instead of getting rid of poverty. And we stay silent. Our leaders have assumed the right to say who lives and who dies, and we stay silent. Our leaders spread fear and doubt among us by creating and financing terrorist groups to run around the world, wreaking havoc and killing people. And I think they do it, and this is my opinion. I might be wrong, but I hate to think about something like that I might be wrong. But you can look it up. The facts are there. All these terrorist groups that are running around, most of them are financed by the United States. The rest are financed by other European powers. And I think it's simply to breed fear among everybody. So we'll say, well, the government's got to look after us and take care of us. And whatever new laws that they pass, we'll be quick to accept it. And I guess I'm getting a little too political, but If you look back at what happened in Nazi Germany, some of you are old enough to remember that, I know, as I look around. The ones that aren't, read your history books. The Nazis took over by spreading fear. The people got so scared of all these threats that the Nazis kept talking about that they let them pass every kind of law in the world to make a tyranny on a dictatorship. And we see, you know, how many people died because of that. You know, again, our leaders spread fear and doubt among us by playing with diseases that'll kill people. They're happy now they've got the Ebola virus in the United States, and they were not going to rest until they got it here. And I believe that they simply want everybody to be scared. And again, this is my opinion, but there are a lot of other people who agree with that. And yet we keep silent. And that's the point I want to make, is all this keeps happening, and we keep silent. You know, I hope Moses is up there still pleading with God for us, because we're going to need somebody to plead our case before much longer, because we have done all we can to deny God from the world. And it's his world. Well, let me change direction now for a minute, instead of being like Jeremiah, and talk about Paul's scripture from the letter to the Philippians. Well, the Philippians was one of the little church groups, Christian communities that Paul founded in Asia Minor. And they were in the city of Caesarea Philippi, which was a very big trading city. There was a lot of traffic and commerce in and out, all kinds of cultures mixed together. And, you know, most of the cultures then were pagan cultures. They worshipped all these different gods, like the Egyptians back in, like the Hebrews in Exodus decided to do when they got afraid. So the Christian community in this city was a small group. So there's a lot of pressure, of course, to go along with everybody else, just like we have today. You know, there's a lot of pressure on everybody to go along with the crowd. Don't stand out, don't speak out, go along with the crowd. Well, they had that pressure, and yet they maintained their community. They tried to stay true to the teachings of Christ that Paul had given them. And Paul now is in prison when he writes this. He doesn't know if he's going to be killed or not. And he's thinking, this might be the last time I talk to him. So he's telling them, he said, keep to the things that we taught you. He said, keep to the things of God. He said, keep God foremost in your life. He said, and there's your hope. There is your peace, and there is your strength in God only. He said, in spite of all that you're going to have pulling you away from God and those that are telling you to forget God, he said, keep to God, and there is your strength. There is your salvation. There is your hope. And I think that we need to maybe do a little bit more than just keep God forefront. I think it's time for Christians to start speaking out. There's so much trash and just pure slop being forced at us. Then I think it's time for Christians to start speaking out. We need to point out how ridiculous some of these things are. And I think it's our duty as Christians. We owe it not just to ourselves, but to God. I think it's time for all Christians to stop being silent, to speak up and say, no, this is wrong. This is going against what God has taught. And, you know, the world is God's. You know, we say in the Lord's Prayer, and how many times, you know, in a year do we say the Lord's Prayer? And we pray, thy will be done. So we're saying, God, we want your will to be done. But yet, looks like everybody on earth just about is trying their best to keep God's will from being done. Well, I think we Christians have a duty to speak up and say, God's will is not being done. And if you want to be our leaders, then you need to understand this. You know, I know that's not an easy task, but I really and truly believe that time is getting short and we need to speak up against the godlessness and the craziness that we see every day. And it's being forced on us while we're silent.